Just a minor piece of information for those on the remote participation. We're just going to have a couple of minutes delay while people are coming back into the room. Recording is on and you can start using the Adobe Connect room, but we will be starting this meeting in just a couple of moments. Thank you. I haven't. In fact, I made great effort to make sure you all... Ladies and gentlemen, and also those in remote participation mode, the Adobe room is open and it will be monitored. If you would care to use the usual mechanism of raising your hand, we will do our best to recognise you in order. We have had some latency issues with the Adobe room closest to me, so if I do not give you the microphone, leave your hand up. I will catch up with the speaking order when the machine catches up with what you're doing out there in cyberspace. Just so everyone is aware of what the topic is for this next hour, we're honoured to have members of the Structural Improvements Committee and indeed the Chair of the Board Governance Committee with us, and members of that as well, because there's an overlap, to take a next steps discussion on the at-large improvements. We all know and have heard almost horror stories about if we don't do the prior planning and the process planning and the proper things in the proper order, how things can go terribly wrong, and we can look to other review processes and the slow implementation that has been seen in those to learn lessons, and that's something that I believe we're trying very hard to avoid with the at-large improvement implementation. Heidi, is Seth on the line? Is Seth joining us? Seth, are you on the audio bridge?
Yes, I am. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi. Seth, I'm unsure whether the Structural Improvements Committee has had the opportunity to meet you. So just by way of housekeeping, if I could start by saying we love you and we'd like to keep you. Thank you very much. You're a very good buy, particularly with Mr. Jennings sitting to my left. I think it's always wise to show him where return on investment actually is, and Seth is one of those points. Seth, as manager for us in our process, I might just give you a few moments for a quick introduction, and then I'm going to hand immediately over to Ray because he has some introductory words before we look at a very brief overview presentation. All of the board members, committee members, sorry, well, they're both, have got hard copy information in front of them, and both the chairs have additional information in soft copy. So anything we've prepared, Seth, they do have a copy of. So just a few moments of hello.
Thanks very much, Cheryl, certainly. I would just like to say I'm very happy to be here. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be participating in the effort. In the coming months, as Cheryl and Heidi and I have discussed, the broad steps we're going to be taking basically start with the creation of a project plan, including an accurate budget. The aim is to have that approved by the at-large community and to the structural Improvements Committee within 2 months by your May meeting. Next, I'm going to be working, I'm told, on strengthening the at-large working groups. And lastly, I'll be helping the working groups divvy up the various specific on-the-ground tasks to implement the improvements. Other than that, I think listening mode is probably best and for me. And as I said, I very much appreciate being here. Thank you very much, Cheryl.
It's always a pleasure, Seth, and I will possibly now say to the public record that one of the parts that I found delightful working with you is you've literally jumped in the deep end and learned very, very rapidly how to swim, is you're one of those people who don't believe there's such a thing as a silly question. And whilst you've occasionally said, oh, I'm sorry to bother you, Cheryl, it's never been a bother. And what we see and what the Structural Improvements Committee members who have previously seen our flowchart for our at-large improvements, you'll see...
Christopher Wilkinson.
Restructuring...
Joined.
Can we have silent entry, please? You'll see restructuring and much more simplification and much more strategic planning going through our processes since the package you got last time. And that's all thanks to Seth. Over to you, Ray.
Thank you, Cheryl. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Ray Polzak. I am the current chair of the Structural Improvements Committee. A couple comments. First of all, from the perspective of the committee, we are most interested in those implementation actions as a result of the review that are going to require board action. And those are the ones that, if you will, that we really care about, because those are the ones that the board has to act on. second thing is that I know that, the real interesting and important thing here that is under consideration is how to move forward past the board's recognizing the principle of placing a voting board member from the at-large community on the ICANN board. There are a number of issues that are around that have got to be taken care of and dealt with. One of the simpler ones is that do we increase the number of board members from voting members from 15 to 16, or do we do something different? And so there's a number of other issues like that. The board is going to quickly resolve those that we can and get it on the way. There are some governance concerns around this board position, and I'll defer to Dennis to speak to those as chair of the BGC.
Thank you, Dennis.
Okay, thank you. Dennis Jennings here for those who are participating remotely, and I'm chair of the Board Governance Committee and vice chair of the board. And you'll have known from the transcript that I had some concerns about the proposal and wanted to differentiate to make sure that this was a decision in principle so that we could consider the implications of this decision in practice more carefully. I'd like to state I'm very supportive of the principle, and I'm very confident that we will achieve it. But from a governance perspective, there are a couple of issues or concerns which I think need to be considered and addressed, and I'm sure you will be. Let's just back up a little bit. ICANN is a multi-stakeholder organization and a corporation and a not-for-profit corporation. Now, most corporations either have shareholders who have the ultimate control or members who have the ultimate control. ICANN has neither. It's a very interesting organization from a governance point of view. And this puts enormous responsibility on the board to act in the best interests of all the stakeholders and to make sure that the roles that are played by the stakeholders are similar to those that are roles played by shareholders and members, and that the organization acts in a coherent fashion, and that the people who have power, and the power is to ultimately elect board members who have oversight of this, that power, as opposed to the power to develop policy, sorry to distinguish the two, that they are authenticated in some reasonable fashion by the board. If you think about an election, one of the key things in an election is that you know who the voters are, that they're authenticated, and there isn't a risk of capture. The slate of voters cannot be stuffed so that the outcome is predetermined by some special interest. In general, in relation to the selection of directors, it is true that the components that have that comprise the electorate are authenticated by the board. It's a little vaguer in some places than in other places. So the concern is, how is the electorate authenticated? That is, that they have met some standard, that has been reviewed by the board, and the board has satisfied itself that standard and the processes have been met. The second issue in relation to election is the election process. Now, in ICANN, we have tended to devolve the process to the organization and not to manage too much about that because we have authenticated the electorate. That is my primary concern that I'd like you to look at. The other concerns in relation to the number of board members and so on are covered more by the Structural Improvements Committee than by the Board Governance. But at all times, the Board Governance Committee will be looking at this from a good ICANN corporate governance perspective. That's our responsibility. Thank you.
Just to reinforce one of the things that Dennis said is that the Board Governance Committee and the Structural Improvements Committee will be working very closely together in this so that we can expeditiously move forward and where it's necessary for the board to take action, put something forward in an effective and efficient manner. Back to you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. And might I thank you both for taking the time to go over that, particularly with the remote participation, because this is an opportunity for people in the rank and file, the end user that we all want to engage, and that, of course, the affirmation of commitment wants to make sure that we can show that we are engaging, to also understand why processes have to go through certain ways. The challenges, I trust, that in the at-large advisory committee and at-large community white paper, on reading that, and I know some of you had advanced copies of that, that the community has gone over in extreme detail in terms of where and how we have choices of electoral models. One of the major challenges is how those people are identified and certified and in whose name they are, in fact, empowered to act. So back to you, Dennis.
And if I may comment on that, I've just had a quick look. Sorry, I'll speak slowly for the remote participants and for the translators. I've had a quick look again at the paper. I had read it. I had a quick look again, and I'm very impressed with the care that you're taking. So all I'm doing at this point is flagging the concern and leaving it to you.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to engage in a dialogue about the specifics. That's your job, but just flag that there's sort of a hurdle that I have that I'll have to be satisfied with. Thank you.
I certainly think that the majority in the leadership position in the regions and indeed in the ALAC understand that very well. And indeed, one of the reasons we'd like to take you through not just a review of where we are in our improvements process at the moment, between where we were in Seoul at our last meeting and where we are now and what our immediate plans are, focusing specifically on the recommendation 1 and 2, number 2 being the one that everyone notices, and that is the at-large appointed board director. There are other bylaw possibilities within the at-large improvements, and we don't want to see those untethered. We do want to have things done in a coordinated, sensible fashion.
Indeed, and I didn't stress that, but of course already a lot of work has been done to look at the bylaws, and frankly, while there are a lot of changes to be made, no major problem from a governance point of view appears to have come up, but I'll pass back to Ray, who's indicating there may be some issue.
I'd like to point out that the report of the review of the at-large, the report of the review of the NOMCOM, and the report of the review of the board have all got elements in there that come together, and unfortunately they don't quite fit. And so, and they don't quite fit from a structural perspective, and they don't quite fit from a governance perspective. And that's what these two committees are trying to unravel. And so, if you will, we're going to tackle that Gordian knot, and hopefully we don't have to use a sword to cut it in half.
I sincerely hope that's the case. But certainly I think it's very important from our community's perspective that we know you see the attention to those details and the recognition we have that in our milestones, for example, in our published documents, they are contingent on certain things happening in a certain order and in a timely manner. And whilst we're not asking you to make particular commitments in any way, shape or form, we have had a meeting, the executive committee met with Marco and with JJ, and we do know that advice was being developed to see, you know, where our processes are at this point, what the next steps are. And we just want to ensure that when you're in a position to give us some feedback on that information, because it's vital information for you, but it's equally vital information, or parts of it. There might be some redacted parts that you want to keep to yourselves, but there are bits in what I believe you have access to that without your permission, quite literally, right, because our point of communication is between us and the SIC, we are going to see not milestones but stone walls, and that is not conducive to the community energy that is already gone into this process. Go ahead, Ray.
Yes, we feel that it's extremely important to keep an open lines of communication, and we don't want milestones obviously become stone walls, and we also don't want them to become millstones around our neck. we will do whatever we can to keep you apprised as appropriate with what's going on, and certainly there's always room for open communications that so we can get things done in the most efficient manner.
Thanks. And I think, thank you, Dennis. Go ahead. In fact, I was actually going to move to the next section, so please go ahead.
So one final thought on the governance issues. The question in our discussions, the question was asked, how is this director going to fulfill the geographic diversity requirement that we have in ICANN? And on looking at that, what we discover is that there's method in the madness. That is that the SOs appoint mid-year, and then the nominating committee balances things out at the end of the year. So the thought is that the director selected by at large should be appointed in the middle of the year to give the NOMCOM the opportunity to address gender, geographic diversity, and the other balancing issues. So just to flag that.
Well, in fact, that was one of course, our preferred options and is recommended in the white paper, and you'll be delighted to know there's been no community argument, debate or derision on that. We see that as absolutely vitally important. And our timeline, including for this first year's process, is particularly designed to try and manage that capability. Alan, you wanted to speak to that matter?
We can address some of Dennis's issues, and I think we should at this meeting, but maybe you want to go through the presentation first. That's your call.
The presentation, they can sit and have it with coffee later if they have so desirous. I think we need to get the real conversations, that communication you were talking about, that's the priority.
I can certainly talk easily on the first point of authentication and on the last point of diversity. The election process, as you will see from the paper, we've already gone perhaps into more detail than we want to satisfy a number of communities, but we can certainly talk about that as well. In terms of authentication, if you look at the current board members associated with the supporting organizations, the GNSO, CCNSO, and ASO, all six board members are designated as board members selected by the supporting organization. And FIS actually selected by the supporting organization council. So the analogy to that in at large is roughly equivalent to the supporting organization. You know, since, for instance, the GNSO, including all of the members of the business constituency, the IPC, and so on and so forth, and the council is roughly equivalent to at large to ALAC. I don't believe the board goes to any great detail to authenticate members of the two councils. They all have their own internal processes of this SO councils, so you don't go and audit how the business constituency selects their council members. Assuming if no one has objected, due process is followed.
Let me respond directly so we don't stack up questions.
Yeah,
no, we don't. But we do authenticate each constituency and each stakeholder group.
Yes.
We do authenticate each registry and registrar.
Yeah.
We don't authenticate in a strict an ALS or a RALO. Now, we have some lightweight, but we don't authenticate. That's the issue.
Okay. The RALOs, there are memorandums of understanding with ICANN. So I'm not quite sure how one can authenticate the RALO any more than that.
Okay. Nor am I, and that's a query I have in my mind and there's paperwork I have to read.
Okay. Authenticating five of the members of the ALAC are selected by the NOMCOM, and I presume we are deemed to be authenticated implicitly. as much as half the board is.
Yes. That's where it gets just in an authentication formality, just gets a little bit vague. But yes, I think that we can see there's enough, in the way the NOMCOM is constructed out of the component parts, there is enough authentication in it. It gives me an opportunity to also say that, of course, a key role of the NOMCOM is to appoint independent directors. Now, actually, all the directors should be independent, but the directors appointed by the SOs tend to be intimately involved in the business activities of the SO and therefore, by definition, are not independent. So, and one of the corporate legal requirements is a majority of the board members have to be independent directors. I haven't examined this in any detail. Again, I'm flagging that as an issue. And so the question is the director selected by at large going to, is part of your structure that you make sure that they are an independent director, which I would certainly advise because corporate law is going in more and more in that direction. Sorry for taking advantage of your comment.
I'll address that issue and then go back to the original one. Since virtually nobody involved in at large has a direct involvement in the domain business in any of the aspects, so from ICANN's point of view, we are independent. You know, regardless of whether the person appointed is an ALAC member or someone we go find from completely outside, from an ICANN business point of view, we are independent. In terms of authenticating the ALSs, well, a process was put in place by which ALAC is given the right to authenticate ALSs by the board. So as a ripple effect, the board does authenticate them indirectly. But more important, I think, if you look at the analogy with, for instance, the business constituency in the GNSO, you approve the charters of the constituencies, but you don't audit the actual applications for members within the constituency. And I think the corresponding rules are the same. You have approved the policies, the rules under which we accept new ALSs. And so there is a comparable process. Now, whether it's sufficient in this case, you obviously have to look at. But it is very comparable to what happens with the exception of registrars, registries who have contracts with ICANN.
My only comment is that I have a lot more work to do, and I'm rather hoping you'll do most of it.
We would be glad to, you know, to continue in the dialogue and find out exactly what you want so we don't give you a pile of rubbish that doesn't satisfy your needs. Now, the process that we have suggested in the white paper also includes some additional votes over and above the ALAC, equivalent to the councils, and which are essentially directly from the ALSs, bypassing the ALAC as such. In addition, some RALOs have provisions within their own bylaws, again approved by ICANN, whether it was done consciously or not, that their ALAC members can be directed to vote in a specific way. That is not, again, different than many of the GNSO constituencies who have very similar rules. In fact, most of them have similar rules. So I guess we would be delighted to know exactly what kind of documentation you want to satisfy you that this process is reasonable. Or, on the other hand, you know, we've presented what our community has created as what they believe is a reasonable process. If the board decides that we need a process exactly comparable to the supporting organizations, that is, the council, i.e. the ALAC, must be the group that does the voting, you are certainly within your rights to do that. That isn't what our community selected as its first option, but it is one of the options on the table. So, you know, we will need feedback. You know, if one option is not acceptable, then we need to understand what is and how we get there.
Let me, if I may, respond to that. First of all, just to be clear, the Board Governance Committee is a committee of the board. It has oversight of this process. So the parties here are yourselves and legal counsel. So I will take action to make sure, and I have already taken it, that legal counsel are considering these complex issues and are going to look at them and advise me and enter into a dialogue with you. I mean, I want to make this point very, very strongly. A number of board members in the past have been too willing to respond to the temptation of diving into the detail and getting involved in the discussion. I'm a board member who believes the board, its responsibility is oversight of the process, not participation in the process. So I know you're addressing me, but actually, I would be, just to be clear.
Let me emphasize one thing that Dennis just said as far as board participation. He and I are 100% agreement on this principle. And so, consequently, whatever method of dealing you have with the Board Governance Committee is the same method of dealing you have with the Structural Improvements Committee.
I guess I'll put what I said in blunter language. If the evidence is piling up on your side that you're likely to reject outright what is going to be proposed, earlier notice of that rather than later is probably worth more expedient.
The goal is that we won't ever get there. And we will work it through so this works.
That's exactly what I was saying. If we interact along the way, we will not likely come to that sort of impasse because we have no interest in coming to that impasse. In the past, there has been occurrences where, you know, people have been told to toss it over the wall and we'll tell you yes or no. And I don't want to really play that game if we can avoid it. I don't. I don't think anyone else does.
That lacks transparency.
That's it, Alan, for your current list?
I want to go on to the diversity, but it's a separate subject, so let's stay on this one.
In which case, can I just move you sidewards in the order, because I also have Sebastian and Evan. Sebastian, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I want really to emphasize the fact that there is a MOU between the regional organization and the ICANN. It was signed by all the LSs at the time of the creation of the RALO in each and every region, and by the CEO and president of ICANN at that time. And I think it's, and everything it's written, how it could work, it is working in each region, and it's not the same contract in each region, or the same MOU in each region, sorry about the wording. And it's explained how new LSs can join, and how all this is working. Then I don't know in the overall organization, except the one who have really a contract with ICANN, how much we can be engaged in each side than with this type of document today. It's even more than in the constituency today, because the constituency are ratified, or the process are ratified by the board. But here, we sign jointly those documents. And I think it's a very important topic for that. It's why I don't see really any reason why we can't go ahead with the proposal for the board election. And I think we make a hard work as a community in that, and it's difficult to have 2 or 3 months black and then to come back to work again. And we really we need to have feedback on that as soon as possible. Thank you.
I wasn't. That's my wind up signal. I was saying continue on is what we need to do. Continue that work. Evan, go ahead. Unless there's a reply. I thought that was a statement, but if you want to reply, Dennis, please.
Well, only that I think that has to be examined, and I hope that that is true, that the existing formality that we have put in place also meets the sort of governance issues. I think it probably does, so I'm raising a concern, not a block, and I think, Sebastian, it probably does. But I think we just need to be very careful to review it properly, and we will.
Thank you, Dennis. Evan, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to briefly address the issue of the independence of the board members that would be picked through this process. The group that has been doing the design of the process has gone to extreme pains to ensure that nowhere in what we're doing is it interpreted that the person that will be selected through this process will be any way considered to be a representative of at-large. We've even refrained from using the term at-large director. And in trying to make it absolutely explicit, this is someone who is picked by at-large, but once selected, is independent, going on their own. Hopefully through the process of selection, this person will be cognizant of our issues and concerns, but once selected, they're at the board, they're independent. We've been taking great pains to make sure all through the process that the community we're working with is aware of this.
And Dennis would like to respond. Ray would like to respond.
Independence as not being a representative is one thing. Independence really goes more to the point of conflict of interest of other things. So I would encourage you to look at the conflict of interest bounds that are placed on the board. And so because that is from a legal perspective where we're looking at. And so we have had several times in board conversations where before we even proceed on the question, we go through and resolve the conflict of interest of any members of the board, whether or not they can even sit in the room while the discussion is taking place, much less vote on an action. So it's not just independence based from a representation standpoint, but it's other conflicts of interest. So I would urge you to look at that as well.
Thank you. Adam, your...
A bit of a follow-on from this, it's the idea that we are an advisory council, and at the moment the liaison is extremely important as a conduit for that advice. So taking what Evan has just said about the nature of independence of the new voting director, we're concerned that our role as an advisory council will be somewhat diminished or lost in some to some degree. And that is why you're still seeing requests from us to consider retaining the liaison role while the voting director is also added. And I know that we've been through this quite often, but I wanted to mention it and say that I think it's something that we consider would be useful. It would be a potential path to the two voting directors that the review suggested in its initial recommendations. But the nature of being an advisory council, the liaison is extremely important, and we're concerned that that could... Well, I am concerned. I shouldn't speak for everybody at the moment, but there is concern that could be lost.
I'll just say that your concerns are noted.
Ray, you mentioned earlier to me, and I'd just like to share with the rest of the community and for the record the matter of interest. I think that's worthwhile. Thank you.
Early on in the conversation that was going on regarding the governance issues that concerns that Dennis had brought up, there's been a continual reference back and forth to domain names. I would caution you to remember also there's a large block of people out there that do numbers, and so there are potential conflicts that could arise there. So don't think just in terms of the consistency model and what works in the GNSO. You also have to look at the other supporting organizations as well. I realize that the primary focus of a lot of people is what happens in the generic names world. However, you have to keep those other worlds in your mind as well.
And if I may, and I'm going to then toss to Alan because he probably wants to respond specifically to that, just to let you all know that the meeting following this is of our at-large board selection design team, and that is yet on our agenda to make sure that the criteria when we put out our call for expressions of interest is so tightly knit, and we have no shortage of lawyers on that group, I can assure you, that by the time it gets to legal counsel that it should be all very nice, that we are minimising any such risk, and we certainly are cognizant of the conflict of interest. In fact, the ability for potential candidates to declare themselves genuinely not likely to be representing a registrar, any contracted type of relationship. We want to be clearly seen as the demand side, not the supply side. So that's something that I know Hong and the rest of that team are working very hard on. But back to you, Alan, perhaps, or did you want to respond immediately to that, right? No?
No.
Okay. Alan, go ahead.
On the conflict of interest issue... I'll lend what may be a bit of levity to this. The ICANN conflict of interest policy is largely focused on financial conflicts. It is perhaps the dearest wish of some of the people in at large if we would have financial issues in this business.
Band up mic. You have to have a mic. Use mic. Oh, okay.
At the current time, it is just financial. However, that's not to say that it will change. It will not change in the future. In fact, I would be surprised if it doesn't. It's looking for other, because that is a current real issue in the corporate world as far as looking at conflicts of interest. So, I realize right now it is primarily financial, but there may be others in the future.
I was rather surprised when I first read it and found out it was only financial. So I have no problem with that, and I did introduce that as a bit of levity, not in any other way.
I would like to have the same problem as well.
Vanda, go ahead.
Yeah, I just remember that we could pay attention on that because being in the way to become international, we need to pay attention on the international laws. So conflict, in my point of view, we should, because it's three years or something like that, we need to pay attention on the international law to guarantee that our indicate people will not be in conflict during the period. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanda. And Samantha, you're bravely, you're at my table yet again. You're going to become an honorary at-large person if you're not careful. We do represent everybody, so you are welcome at the table. But from a professional point of view, the microphone's yours.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to make a comment on the independence issue. As Ray and Dennis have both noted, independence has a larger focus within the ICANN world, and the definition of independence is changing all the time because of the IRS regulations that govern ICANN. And I know in previous conversations with the design team, we've mentioned this, and just to assist the design team, I'm re-forwarding the slides on independence so that we can continue the conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. Go ahead.
And just to make sure that we're not U.S. focused, this is happening in the rest of the world too.
Thank you. You beat me to it. And I think it's worth, while the remote participants who are seeming to be in listening mode, nobody's waving their hands at me or putting up comments, but remember you are welcome to do so and I will read them to the record. And, of course, anyone on the phone bridge, you just have to cough loudly and I think I'll probably notice. Seth, I will ask you later to see what you've digested and what you might want to contribute, so you might want to take a moment there as well. But we have had very close and, I think, successful conversations between ICANN Legal and the design team. We haven't even got to the selection committee yet. Right at the precursor, the design team are taking these things into consideration. We'd like to be seen retrospectively as one of the easiest, most successful and less contentious set of improvements out of a process. So that's our little aim.
So would we.
Back to you, Alan.
Just one more thing on the independence issue. To be blunt, and I think that comes out in the paper, or certainly many of our documents, when we started in this process, there were a fair number of people within at large who were using words like the at large director must defend at large, must fight for what we want. As you might have guessed, another summit is on some people's minds and you know, must do everything they can to get it. And I think we've now gotten to the point where pretty much everyone realizes that in any given decision, the at-large director may vote against something that is counter to what at-large wants in the global scale. That might be the important decision at any given time. And Evan used the words that we're starting to use, that what we're looking for is someone who will be able to, when making that decision, factor in the issues and and values of at-large and of individual users around the world. That at least that person, if not all the other directors, have at least thought of those issues, and that's the critical measure.
And if I may just respond, and that's absolutely right. We're looking for an independent director who is better informed by at-large about at-large issue than the average director. But that doesn't mean that they in any way, as you say, represent or necessarily vote in a particular directed way. So, thank you.
Again, as a slight bit of levity, one of our former ALAC members is perhaps best known as the author of Internet for Dummies. And we'd like to assume that any at-large director in the future can look at things from the perspective of the Internet dummy, the someone who is not trained in all the buzzwords, and understand the impacts of decisions ICANN makes on that level of users, among others.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very cognizant of the time, as everyone who's been in the room with me today will know, and we've gained. We were nearly 20 minutes behind on schedule earlier this morning, but we're fine now. I was just going to ask, are we going to be willing to move to ask for comments on other than recommendation 2? Because we have spent a huge amount of time on recommendation 2.
I didn't want to spend one minute on the diversity issue.
I'll hasten to add, recommendation 2 is huge, and if we need to spend the rest of it, so be it. I just wanted the feeling of the meeting and also any indication from the remote participants. Happy to continue with recommendation 2? Fine. Dennis, you had something you wanted to raise, and then over for diversity.
Slight tangents later.
Okay. Go ahead, Al.
Okay. Just a quick comment or two. As Dennis pointed out, it is up to the NomCom to try to balance the board after whatever the SOs do. Technically, in the bylaws, the SOs have to honor the regional balance also. There is a specific clause under international representation which says the SOs must honor the greater than 1 or greater than 0, less than 5. There is, of course, no mechanism for doing it. And should they ever appoint the right wrong people at the wrong time, I don't know what action would be taken. You know, maybe the interest is getting your name in first and the last one loses. Within the bounds of what the SOs do, adding one more at-large person in that same round is not likely to alter the balance significantly. I will point out, however, that when we talk about, you know, assuming the board ends up approving with the board review that the SOs stay in mid-year, I don't believe there is any reason why the first at-large director would have to be seated at mid-year. One always has transition rules associated with new bylaws. And, you know, we've gone for many, many years with the SO people even being seated between meetings and survived it. So I would not like to see the seating delayed significantly because of that sort of thing.
Specifically to that, there's absolutely no intent to do that. There would be transition rules to make it work.
Thank you. That's very useful, and it does give us some hope that the very hard argued and thought out set of milestones in the white paper, and of course we need to refer towards the end of this when we move beyond recommendation 2, but just before we do that, the white paper has been out for public comment, normal ICANN public comment. That comment period is finished. So we are ready to take the next step in the natural course of the way ICANN does things anyway, and that fits with our timeline. Back to you for diversity then, Alan.
I think I did it.
What? It was no, only geographic diversity? Ladies.
No.
Okay.
Well, we have. I think we will have the same problem that the SOs do, except we only have one instead of two. We cannot balance our genders among most of the candidates that I can think of. So
not pick, you know, not adequate people just because it belongs to this or that region, you know.
And in fact, we would be more concerned that geographic diversity was too much of a limiter if we were not able to do our process well in advance of one POM meeting to do theirs. We certainly wouldn't want to be coming in, you know, very late in a process. So we're delighted to hear the current thinking that is in line with ours, because we feared the current thinking would not have been in line with ours.
Well, let me just, for the record, be clear. In my investment business, when we evaluate things, we use a phrase called best current thinking. Mm-hmm. That means that we're not bound to this in the long run. We may change our mind, but best current thinking is this will not be an impediment, and there will be transition rules.
Go ahead, Alan.
Unlike any other organization in ICANN, we actually have people mandated equal numbers from each region. Therefore, we are continually looking at regional issues, and as you might guess, we had suggestions that board directors had to rotate around the five regions. Only one at a time. But that, you know, we were mandated it's like ICANN meetings, we need to rotate around the globe. So we are cognizant of geographic diversity and other diversities as well.
Just on the point of diversity, which is what I was trying to hope that one of the other girls around the table might have picked up, some of the regions actually have gender diversity in their rules. And we've had to go through in this process recognising that some of the regional rules simply can't apply in these circumstances. That this process has to be best person for the job, not biased by any current geographic or gender supposition of what the board they're going to may or may not be. We have to be able to operate, in our view, our process in a clear, transparent and unarguably best person for the job is the end point. Dennis, you want to reply to that?
Only that, you're absolutely right. Gender diversity or gender representation is in modern terms, a good governance issue. It is seen as good governance to have gender balance or gender diversity on a board because of the different perspectives that different types of different genders bring. Achieving that without insulting every woman in the room by having special privileges and so on, most of the women I know would be absolutely incensed at the idea that they'd be tokens in any way.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a much broader issue about how we do gender diversity. If I may just take a minute and not waste too much time, this was a problem with one of the major orchestras in Europe in the past. They always appointed male violinists because it was widely recognized that men were better violinists than women. So recognizing that, they decided to conduct the interviews blind, behind a screen. And when they did that, the proportion of women in the orchestra accurately matched the proportion of women who were applicants to be violinists in the orchestra. So there are other mechanisms that can be used.
Whoa! You may end up as a speaker at my next Women on Boards conference. We are going to stay to time, but I do want to ask specifically if there is anyone in the Adobe Connect room who wants to raise a question. If you do, you can either type it in or use the English-only channel, but speak in whatever language suits you. And we have people at the table who will read to the record so it is properly captured. I'm not seeing... It's longer than the... Yeah, we have lots of duplicates. Yes, it should be live. Mateus, can you tell me? Dennis is questioning that the Adobe room is up and running and live. Yep, according to Mateus, it's live. Okay, I see nothing, and unusually, we usually take silence as agreement. In this case, we're taking silence as actually silence, and it's that you don't have a particular question. I'm now going to the phone bridge. Is there anyone on the phone bridge other than Seth, who I will throw to in a moment, that wants to say anything? No? Then around the table. Ladies and gentlemen here in the room, is there anyone who wants to raise a matter, issue, make a comment? Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. I just wanted to make a comment regarding geographic and diversity in general. I think that the diversity can be really pushed forward in outreach, but the selection process, of course, needs to find the best person. And if it's a woman, great. If it's a guy, fair enough. Thanks.
In being a card-carrying humanist, in my view, it's all about being the best person, and some of the best gender balances come from places that actually have gender balance, not diversity, as where they're trying to head. So whenever something comes too far off the seesaw, that's when things are done. I'm not going to let Seth get away without Matt saying a few words, but while you're preparing any questions or comments you have, Seth, if Matthias, can I just have slide 2, because I'm also not going to let the members of the committee get away without seeing our wonderful, thrill-packed and exciting, thanks to Scott Pinsa, move all of that, keep pushing buttons, you'll get to it, and once more, here we go. That's what we actually look like. We think that in itself is a nice little marketing tool. It clearly delineates if you want to show anyone in a graphic form what at large, the regions and the ALAC is all about. And I want to recognise the incredible work, not just of the people around this table, but of ICANN staff, Heidi, Matthias and particularly Scott and his team working to get that right, to be culturally appropriate. We're all going to be happy with that, and we hope you are. So hopefully you look at the rest of the slides, but I see that as a terribly marketable graphic.
Can I point out the graphics do not imply exact numbers? I think we have more than 2 ALSs in Africa.
Certainly don't imply exact numbers. It's a proportion thing. It's not a proportional thing. Seth, final words?
Thank you very much, Cheryl. If I could just say that obviously for me this has been a very interesting and educational discussion. Obviously in my very specific world here, it's concerned largely what I call Recommendation 2, and we'll now call the board member selected by at-large rather than the at-large director. From this discussion, I will go immediately and incorporate much of what I've heard and learned into the simplified at-large improvements outline so that we can all keep it in mind in the community. Thank you very much, Cheryl. I appreciate it.
And just a final thanks to the members of the Structural Improvements Committee and, of course, Dennis and Ray, you're just wearing 2 hats here. You're part of BGC and you're part of heading up the Structural Improvements Committee. We really value these opportunities to occasionally have conversation, and we hope we haven't in any way compromised you or made you feel uncomfortable, but we'd like to let you know how much we value you being here at these face-to-face meetings, and the wider community out there do too. Final word goes to you. You're the boss, Dennis.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate it too. And we particularly appreciate having discussions which are focused and addressing an issue that is of concern to you that you want to inform us about. More of these interactions were focused across the organization, it would be much better. But let me just reiterate for the record, I happen to be chair of the BGC, but I'm here as a member of the BGC to listen. I'm not speaking for the BGC. I'm not making any commitments, and I'm not speaking for the board. But the information exchange has been very useful and very positive. Thank you very much indeed.
Final word goes to Ray.
I would like to reiterate what Dennis just said in regards to changing the acronym from BGC to SIC. And I also would like to thank you all for this opportunity to be here with you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. A short necessities and bio break for those who do need to stay for the ABSDT meeting. The rest of you, I believe, are now allowed to go and have lunch. Thank you for a huge day, ladies and gentlemen. We started nearly 20 minutes behind due to technical difficulties, and look what we've managed done. That's all about you, and it's all about the translation interpretation team. Thank you. We would be nothing without you. And you'll be delighted to know we don't need you anymore today.
something else for free. Thank you.